We're keeping them in, and we're going to dedicate some of them to the Lord. If you hear them making noise, don't get mad. It's their service today. So if you have your Bibles with you today, Proverbs 22:6 is our text. You can get there, but I'm going to talk to you about children this morning, and it's great that we focus on them at times like this, because sometimes we forget what a blessing they are. And sometimes as you're raising them, you forget what a blessing they are. And as we're talking about dedicating them to the Lord today, some of you would like to drop them off and leave them somewhere. But the thing is, God has entrusted you with the responsibility to parent them. And that's both a pleasure and a privilege if you do it unto the Lord. Amen. Let's thank God this morning. Father, we thank you for this time that we can focus on children today. We thank you for the families that are presenting little ones today. And we pray your blessing over them. We just ask, Lord God, that as the word goes forth, Lord, we would be able to absorb it. And these things from your word would give us wisdom. And they would be actionable for us, that we'd be able to apply them to the way we teach and live and train our children. We ask that in Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Amen. Well, amen. All right. All right. We got a good section there. All right. So this morning I want to speak to you, and the title is very simply about raising godly children. And that's the point of the drill, isn't it? Nobody gets that baby in their hands for the first time. The birthing has happened. The baby appears, and you look at them and go, man, I hope this kid turns out to be a wild heathen. Anybody, if you do that, we have counseling available free of charge. But no, you look at them and go, man, I want them to be everything God made them to be. I want them to be productive members of society, Christian, a godly man, a godly woman. I want them to love the Lord and fulfill God's purpose for their life. That's the point of the drill if we're Christian parents here this morning. Amen. So what's our primary responsibility as Christian parents? That's a great question. Wherever you are in the process here, whether you're pregnant and you're awaiting your first child, or you have little ones in your home and they're formative and you're working with them. Maybe you have teenagers and you spend more time praying and your hair is thinning out. Maybe you've got grown children. Oh, by the way, it's okay to laugh in church. So, all right. I know I'm moving fast, but try and keep up. So, anyways, if you got grown kids and you think, well, they're grown, they're out of the house, the nest is empty, I'm done. I have a bad thing to tell you today. You're never done. They only have one mom and one dad, and whether they're little, preborn, or fully grown, you're still the one that God wants to use to strengthen them, bless them, and be there for them throughout all the phases of life. So what's our primary responsibility? And that is raising children, having children is a responsibility. God holds us responsible for it. What's our responsibility as Christian parents? Well, number one, it's not to be their best buddies. There's times where you're going to have to discipline your children. You're going to have to restrain them. You're going to have to correct them. And they are not going to like it. How many remember growing up and you were like, man, I just can't stand listening to people. I want to do my own thing. And I can't, my parents are just, they're ruined. And you just, as a child, you're thinking, man, I can't wait to just get out of the house. I'm going to join the military. No one's going to tell me what to do. Or then you think, I'm not gonna do that. But I'll get married, then I'll do what I want. There's always someone to answer to. There's always authority in your life. And as Christian parents, we're not called to be our child's best buddy. They got plenty of friends, but they only have one mom. They got plenty of friends, but they only got one dad. Neither are we called to be their enablers. Well, we just help them and we do things for them and we do all these things. And there's a point where they become mature and they can do things for themselves, and then we're not needed anymore. So when we overdo it and we overdo it, we become enablers, and then they don't form and they don't learn to do things themselves. And that's not a good thing. One last thing we're not called to do is we're not really called to be their activity directors. Do you see the way parents parent today? Do you hear they call them helicopter parents? They hover over their kids from cradle to grave, and they do everything for them, and they're their activity directors. They're like, you know, they take them from here to there and go here and do that, and they're playing 72 sports, and they're on 82 teams, and they have 57 hobbies, and mom and dad are like chauffeurs running them all around. Stop that! It's crazy. It's disrupting your house. It's disrupting your marriage. Listen, I know you think they're going to go pro in every sport. They're not going pro. Little Johnny's going to be on Yankees. No, he's not. For most of us, that dream died at conception. And some of you don't believe me. You're the problem. Understand, you're not to be an activity director. You're not to run yourself ragged. You're not supposed to keep them. When we were kids, this is what they did with us. They opened the door, they threw us out, and they said, see you at lunch, maybe. Drink from the hose, play in the woods, run around like savages, and if you make it home at night, we'll let you sleep here. Now with everything, kids are bubble wrapped in hell. Stop it. You're not their activity director. You're not their enablers. You're not their best buddies. You say, well, Pastor Rick, what am I? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you this morning. We are called to be their guardians. We guard over our children, especially when they're young and formative. Why? Because they're precious. Anything that's precious is guarded. You don't take expensive things and just throw them out in the street. You guard them. You take care of them. So we're called to be our children's guardians. We're called to be their mentors. We're called to be coaches, amen? I didn't say drill sergeants. I said coaches. We coach them up, amen. Why? Because they got a lot to learn, and they need wisdom, and they need somebody in their corner to cheer for them every once in a while. We're called to be their counselors and their role models, to counsel them, to give them God's word, God's wisdom, to share our life experiences with them. Here's a news flash for everyone out there. You don't have to learn everything the hard way. You can learn by the experience of others. Young people, you can learn from your parents and those who have gone before you here that, you know, don't do this. Don't do it that way. Do it God's way. It works better all the time. And so we're guardians. We're mentors. We're coaches. We're counselors. We're role models, not activity directors, not enablers, and not best buddies. And you might think of that list there, well, man, that's a lot to do. Mentor, guardian, coach, counsel. I can't do all that. And I want to encourage you this morning. God has equipped you to do every single one of those things, but you need to make an adjustment to it. You need to put the word spiritual in front of every one of those roles. If you don't make those roles a spiritual exercise, it's not going to work. And so what do I mean by that? Well, we are spiritual guardians, spiritual mentors, spiritual coaches, spiritual counselors, spiritual role models for our children. If our children can't look at us and follow in our footsteps and serve God the way we serve God, then we need to step up our game. Someone say amen. We need to do it in a spiritual way. Why? Because we do it in our own way, in a natural way, by opinion or preference. We don't know what we're going to turn out at the end. Our text this morning is very simple, very short, one that you've probably heard before. It's Proverbs 22, verse 6, and it says this. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. God's word is encouraging us that it's a formative process. It's a training process. And when we train them to know the Lord and serve the Lord and have a Christian worldview, and we model for them what it is to live out the Christian faith, when we train them in the way they should go, even when they're old, they won't depart from it. Now listen, sometimes in that process, they'll resist and they'll struggle and they'll push against it. But the word promises us if we put it in them, it will produce fruit. Why? Because God's word, God's way never returns void. And when we're faithful to do our part, he's faithful to do his. Now, the Hebrew word in that text in Proverbs, realize Proverbs, Old Testament, all Hebrew. The Hebrew word for train is the word kanak, and it means to guide and restrict. It means to initiate and dedicate. Kanak, the first thing that we're doing here is we're dedicating our children to the Lord. So that's part of their training. It comes when we come here and we present them and we say before the congregation and before God, we make a declaration that, hey, my child belongs to God. I'm not in this alone. I'm not doing it all myself. I'm part of the family of God. I'm a man or a woman of God, and I'm going to raise my children with God's help to be everything God made them to be. Kanak, to guide, restrict, to initiate, to dedicate. First of all, we're dedicating to the Lord. But if we want to raise godly children, if we want them to be what God intended them to be, we have to do two things consistently. Say consistent. Consistent is an important thing. We can't be all hot and excited for the things of God at one time, and then we're off the rails and we're back in the world. We have to be consistent. Why? Because it's our example of consistency that produces lasting impact on our children. There are two things that we need to do consistently, and we get them from that word train, kanak. The first is to guide and restrict. If we want our children to be godly children, we have to guide them. Aren't you glad that God doesn't just save us, send Jesus to die for us, and you know, and save us from our sin, and then goes, well, you're on your own, figure it out, I hope you make it. Anybody glad for that? That God gives us leaders and teachers and the Word of God and all kinds of wisdom and the Holy Spirit in us to lead us into all truth. Listen, as much as God doesn't do that with his children, we can't do that with ours. But parents that are self-centered and selfish or absent, you know, mothers that won't mother and fathers that won't father, they produce these children that are inconsistent. Why? Because they haven't been guided. And like the word says, they haven't been restricted. Our children need to be restrained at times. How many of you grown men out there could say, if someone wasn't watching you when you were young, you probably wouldn't be here now? Amen. Anybody else wild? Anybody else do crazy things? You know, when back in the day when we would jump off of stuff and build ramps with our bikes and there was no helmets and seatbelts and airbags and bubble wrap. Anybody? Amen. Okay. Some of the girls are raising their hand. But yeah, we need guidance, especially as children. I mean, there was stuff I would have jumped off. I remember, maybe I shouldn't say this in front of my parents, but I mean, it's like, good thing I decided, hey, maybe that's not a good idea. That's a little high. So guidance, restraint, consistently teaching them to do God's things God's way. We have to teach them to do God's things God's way. Why do we pray? Why do we study the Word of God? Why do we have personal devotion times? Why do we come to church? Why do we give? Why do we keep ourselves sexually pure? Why do we wait for Matt? Why do we do these things? Teaching them, restraining them, guiding them. Yes, they're going to resist. Yes, the world's going to tell them something different, but you're that voice that God put in their ear to keep them from destroying themselves as they go through the maturation process. So on the other side, they can serve the Lord and fulfill their purpose. Restraining them, why? Guiding them, why? Because it's wild out there, and there's a lot of snares, and there's a lot of pitfalls, and there's a lot of lies. Listen to Matthew 7, 13 through 14. This is why we guide our children as Christian parents. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. Say narrow. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow, say narrow, that leads to life. Thank you. And there are few who find it. So our children could be one of the many or one of the few. What's the difference? What we sow into their lives about the things of God. We can make a huge impact for them, but children unrestrained, children without guidance, children without any restriction around them will spin out of control very quickly, and we see this in our society. Now, all of us were born with counterproductive appetites and attitudes, and you say, well, why is that? Because we were born in original sin. Where do we get that from? Adam and Eve. It came through our spiritual DNA. We were born with original sin. Now the world says, no, no, we're all good, and we just need to nurture and foster and timeouts. And no, listen to me. We were not born good. We were born with a sinful nature. And if you don't believe me, let me ask you a question. And if you answer it honestly, it'll prove it. Did you have to teach your children how to lie? Did you have to teach them how to be selfish? Did you have to teach them how to share? I mean, think about this. You know, we didn't teach them. Now, I want you to go into the sandbox and hit Johnny over the head with the truck and take it from him, because that's the way we roll in the Leonardi family. No, you didn't have to teach them that. When they stole a cookie or stole food, did you teach them to lie? No. Did you take that cookie? Uh-uh. chocolate all over their face. They just know. Where'd that come from? It's in our nature. And so we have this fallen nature, and we've got, you know, these counterproductive appetites and attitudes, and what we need is guidance and supervision in our lives. Now, should we cover them and guide them spiritually? Yes. Should we smother them spiritually? No. We have to let our children find their way, skin their knees, and make mistakes. I know it's hard to watch. I know it's painful sometimes as a parent, but we have to trust the Lord enough that He is the author and the finisher of their faith, not us. So guide them, yes. Smother them, no. We must learn to protect our children without becoming overprotective. Overprotectiveness is almost always rooted in fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? That's what the scripture tells us. When we're overprotective and we restrain and we do everything and we don't let them skin their knees and make mistakes, that is driven by fear. And a child that is under fear and under overprotective parents will eventually be frustrated by that and rebel against it. I'm telling you, the wisdom gathered here for decades of pastoring and parenting, you can't smother them. You have to let them make their own decisions. You have to be there to help and guide them. But you, at the same time, you have to trust God to be God in their lives. So don't allow fear to damage your child, to damage their potential. But trust in the Lord. You've dedicated them to the Lord today. You presented them to Him, and He will be faithful to do His part. Someone say amen. Parents have a very powerful influence over their children and the way they turn out. I know the school and the culture and the music and all of that is powerful. I know the TV and the movies and all the social media is powerful. But still, God has given us a voice. God has given us a part to play that what we say to them will impact them. Children who see physical violence between their parents are 6 times more likely to abuse their own spouses when they marry. Children who are abused by their parents are 12 times more likely to abuse their own children when they have them. Do you realize the example we set, the way we do things, the way we live out our faith consistently will impact our children more than anything else? It's a sobering thought. You know what the thing is? It's human nature. If you do 10 things well and one thing wrong, what do you think the thing is that they pick up most easily? The one thing wrong. We got to be careful. It's like the parent who checking all the boxes, doing everything right, but they got one bad habit, one bad vice. It's like the father chain smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day. It says, don't smoke. It's not good for you. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to smoke. So we don't smother. We don't parent out of fear. We don't give in to overprotectiveness. But at the same time, we allow our children to find their way, and we help them along the way. Ephesians 6:4 says this specifically to fathers. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the fear and the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We have to guide them. We have to restrain them. But at the same time, we can't lord over them and be so hard on them and so demanding of them that we don't cheer for them when they're successful in life. If you've ever seen parents that are just always find something wrong with whatever their children do, you know that they're crushing those children. Be your child's greatest cheerleader. Cheer for them, applaud them, acknowledge them. When they do something good, tell them they do something good. Don't watch them do 100 good things and jump on the one thing they do wrong all the time. Well, the amens are trailing off, so I know I'm getting it here today. We have a powerful influence. We affect the way they turn out. Derelict parents who refuse to restrain and guide their children will answer to God. And you might think, well, that's not a popular thing to say. Well, you know what? The Word of God warns us. In the Old Testament, there was a priest named Eli, and he had sons who were also priests, and they did wicked things to the children of God in the house of the Lord. And guess what? Eli, the high priest, did not restrain them. And God was so aggravated at his lack of guidance, at his lack of consistency and restraint, that he spoke a judgment against the house of Eli. His family was wiped out in a day, and he died the same day. Listen to what 1 Samuel 3:12-14 says. 1 Samuel 3:12 through 14. On that day, this is God speaking through the prophet to Eli the high priest. I will carry out against Eli everything that I have spoken in regarding to his household from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am going to judge his house forever for the wrongdoing that he knew, because his sons were bringing a curse on themselves and he did not rebuke them. Therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the wrongdoing of Eli's house shall never be atoned by sacrifice or offering. And God kept his word, and those boys were snuffed out in a day, and Eli fell off his chair and broke his neck and died, and God carried out his judgment. Why? Because he was a father who was a spiritual leader who refused to restrain his sons, and they did wickedness in the sight of the Lord and hurt the children of God. Now, that's pretty sobering here today. You should see your faces right now. You're like, and you might think, well, that's the Old Testament, Pastor. We're in the New Testament and there's grace. Yes, there is grace, but God is still God. And God is not pleased with those who have children and refuse to parent them. He's not pleased with those who sire children but don't father them. He's not pleased when we shuck our responsibility and selfishly live our lives and we don't parent our children. So hear the word of the Lord today. Derelict parents will answer to God. The second thing that we need to do to train our children up so they turn out to be godly men and women of God is first we guide them, and secondly, we are called to inspire them. You know, when children are little, they look at their parents, they look at their mom, they look at their dad like they're superheroes. Anybody like their parents? Anybody at all? Anybody remember when you were a kid and like your dad was like Superman and you looked up to, wow, my dad can put me on top of the refrigerator. I wish you wouldn't leave me there half the afternoon. But and children look up to their parents when they're little, and they, you know, they want some inspiration from them. And that word chinach, to train, it means to initiate. We covered the dedicate part, but what does that mean to initiate? Well, it means that we provoke our children to live godly lives. It means that we inspire them to follow the Lord. How do we do that? By serving the Lord in such a way that it's contagious. Amen? If they see you serving God and it's misery and it's drudgery and you complain all the time and you come home for church and, oh, that pastor's so long-winded and I don't like the songs that they picked, and then, did you smell the perfume on that person who came next to me? I mean, did they think the bottle's a one serving size? And then, it's okay to laugh. Some of you are like, it's okay. We hear the conversations that happen in the parking lot on the way home. You didn't know we had Apple trackers in your car. No, I'm just kidding. But anyways, how we serve the Lord will inspire them either to serve God or to run away from God or to think that God's not very important. Your faith will provoke your children to have like precious faith. How you serve God, how you prioritize him, how you give place to your relationship with him will inspire your children to have faith of their own. Strive to be a model of authentic spirituality for them to follow. Children can smell hypocrisy a mile away. They know when you're playing. They know when you're pretending. They know when, you know, what you do at home doesn't match up what you do in church. I'm just going to let that settle in a little bit. Strive to provide a model of authentic spirituality for them. Give them a model, an example to follow. I want to talk to the parents here today who have grown children. Many times we're dedicating babies and children today. We're bringing them and presenting them before the Lord. Many times parents that have grown children think, well, you know, I'm done. You know, my nest is empty. I raised them up. You know, they're out. Good luck. And listen, we're never done. You're never done. You're always still a mother or a father. And until the day you die, you will have a special place in your child's life that no one else can fill. So understand something here today. If you have grown children and they're wayward and they're not serving God and they don't want to hear it from you anymore, you know, if they're little now, they're very pliable and you can speak into their lives, you can discipline them, you're bigger than them, you can make them do what you want. But there's going to come a day, and it happens, and when they're teenagers and young adults, they don't want to hear it anymore. If you're out there today and you've got children that are grown and they don't want to listen to you anymore and they think that you're not very smart and you're not very technologically savvy and you don't know how to work all these things and that and you're from some archaic dinosaur generation, they're like, oh, we don't want to hear it from you. I understand the position that you're in, and I want to encourage you today. If your children are grown, they're out of your house, they don't want to hear it anymore, I want you to do this. Cut down your words and ramp up your prayers. Sometimes you've said everything you can say. Have you been there, Pastor Mike? You've been there? Said everything you could say. And then what? There's nothing left to say. Have you ever given them the speech? Have you ever given them the diatribe? Have you ever appealed to them? Given them a monologue? And even you're tired of hearing it. How many times do I have to? And then you're thinking, it's not working. The words are not working. Stop it with the words. Stop it with the diatribe. Stop it with the monologues. Get on your knees and pray. They can ignore your words. They can dismiss you. But here's what they can't ignore. They can't ignore this. When we get before the Lord and we cry out for them and we call the Lord of heaven and earth to intervene, they can't ignore that. And when God does it in them and for them, they're going to think it was their idea to begin with. So maybe they're grown. Maybe they're wayward. Maybe they want to do their own thing and they don't want to hear your words anymore. Well, pray. Remember, your actions always speak louder than your words. You can't talk the Christian talk and not walk the Christian walk. And it's a big responsibility because our children see hypocrisy and they spot it instantly. I want to close this morning with five actions that will inspire your children to turn out to be godly children. Number one, love them unconditionally. Love them unconditionally. Well, only if they do the right things. No, love them unconditionally. Not when they mess up, then yell at them. No, love them unconditionally. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. We all make wrong decisions. But love, God loves us unconditionally. He doesn't take it back and forth, and I love you, I don't. Listen, we need that agape love, that we love them unconditionally. They'll know it's there even when they mess up, even when they ignore everything you say and do everything you said not to. If you still love them, they'll test that love sometimes, but choose to love them unconditionally. That doesn't mean approving of sinful behavior. That doesn't mean rationalizing things that are contrary to the word of God. That means loving them despite those things. Number two, let them know you're praying for them. We need to pray for our children. You see, as parents, why do we see things in our children that nobody else sees? People are like, oh, they're this and they're that. But as a mom, as a dad, you probably see things in them that nobody else sees. Why does God let us see that? I'll tell you why, because he wants us to pray for them. Something very powerful happens when a mother and a father pray for their children. When you grab your wife's hand and you say, let's pray about this specific thing for this specific child, something very powerful happens in their lives when mom and dad are praying for them. If you're running from God and your mom and dad are praying for you, just quit. If you got your grandparents pray for you, please just quit. I'm telling you what, God hears the prayers. And when mom and dad pray about specific things. Do you see addiction in them? Do you see lust in them? Do you see sexual immorality? Are you watching their relationships and you're seeing unhealthy things? Get on your knees and pray to God. And here's what I want to tell you. Fast for them. When the disciples were sent out to cast out devils and to heal the sick, they couldn't cast out a specific demon. And they came back and they said, Jesus, why couldn't we cast it out? And Jesus said this, and it's powerful. These only come out by prayer and fasting. There are certain things that'll never break in your children's life until you get down on your knees, turn over your plate, and pray and fast for them to see God's deliverance. Understand how to use your spiritual weapons today. Sometimes you've said enough and you've talked too much, but if you'll pray and fast, you'll see a breakthrough in their lives. Number three, go out of your way to invest time in them. Spend time with them. I know you're busy. We're all busy. I'm busy, but they are important. And if you invest time in them, you'll let them know how important they are. Number four, make a sincere effort to listen to them. Do you know there are some people in our generation that never have anyone listening to them? That no one listens to them? They feel unheard? That's a tough place to be. As a young man, as a young woman, to feel like you can't say what you need to say, that nobody has the time, nobody cares to listen. As a mom and as a dad, if we will listen to them and allow them to be heard without correcting, without judging, without giving them a solution to the problem, without trying to fix it, just to listen so that they can be heard. What a powerful thing. I know these things are hard. I know some of you are saying, I don't want to do that. But listen to me. If we want to raise godly children, we've got to be willing to do these things. And number five, the last one, be honest and transparent with them. Nobody likes a fake. Nobody likes a pretender. Nobody likes a mother or father who pretends that they do everything right and never make a mistake and they've always were perfect. All of us mess up. One and a half amens. All of us have done things to our children that would make, you know, will make them dysfunctional. One amen. Now I'm getting down. Let's see if I get to zero here. No, I mean, and so what do? We pretend, oh, I did everything right, and it was just because you. No, we go and say, you know what, I messed up. I'm sorry if I hurt you, if I wronged you, if I was inconsiderate. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. When a dad can say to their children, when a mom can say to her children, moms, try this out. Please forgive me. I was too emotional. I was too overprotective. And just be, you know, transparent and humble. It will heal something in them. We're pretending that we never made a mistake. It was all because you wouldn't listen. That does something in them that breaks them. So love them. Let them know you're praying for them. Invest time in them. Make every effort to listen to them and be honest and transparent with them. If we'll do those things faithfully, consistently before the Lord, and we train them up in the way they should go, we will see godliness produced in their lives in the days to come. Let's bow our heads today. Father, we just thank you today for your word and how it teaches us. And Father, even though some of this stuff is hard to hear, it's hard to hear as a parent, it's hard to hear as a son or a daughter. Lord, we know that it's true and we know that it's beneficial. And Father, we pray today that you would help us to do our very best, whether we have babies or toddlers or teenagers or grown children, that we would fulfill our role in a way that pleases you and we would see the good impact that it has on the lives of our children. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.